Our journeys this Lent have taken us in many directions, to garden and hometown, and now to wilderness and water. Both much in the news and for our deliberations is this theme of wilderness and water. And as we prepare to dive into it this day, will you pray with me? Pour forth your Spirit, O God, as you pour forth your Spirit in the waters of baptism, as your Spirit hovers over us in wilderness times. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I was glad that Reverend Ginny Smanek put a positive spin on water for us this morning, because in recent weeks, it has not been all positive news on water, to be sure. And today, our place of journey is the wilderness. I invite you to think of the wilderness places in your own lives. We often see the wilderness as a negative place, as hard times. And so they are. But they are also places we know from the biblical and the journey of people of faith where clarity and perspective may come. We often read in Scripture of people and Jesus himself going off to the wilderness to pray. Pastor Dave put it pretty succinctly this week in our staff meeting when he said, "The journey on the road to Easter begins in the wilderness," as I noted to him that in all three first weeks of Lent, in our lectionary passages, the first passages we read are of Jesus off in the wilderness, tempted by Satan. In fact, in Mark it says, following Jesus' baptism, that the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. So too were the Israelites in the wilderness in our lectionary passage for this Sunday. And the people of Israel were grumbling. They were grumbling a lot. Just two short chapters before they had emerged triumphant through the parting of the Red Sea, and they had walked through escaping slavery in Egypt with Miriam singing, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." Now, two chapters later, 2 months later, they're grumbling. Midway through this second month of being released from captivities, they were discouraged, weighed down by the burden of wandering in the wilderness without water and food. They were turning away from this God who had dramatically brought them out of Egypt, and they complain to Moses and Aaron. They forget this God who has provided for them. Will God really provide? Really, they ask. Will it be enough? And they need to be shown again and again, for this isn't the first time that they've been complaining. It's actually the third of consecutive stories in these two chapters of the people complaining. And after each complaint, God provides 12 springs of water in the desert, manna in the wilderness, and finally this story of water out of the rock, to be followed next by a defeat of their enemies. The people complain and forget, and God provides again and again. There is so much wilderness in our days these days, isn't there? War, disaster, struggles for leadership to find the right paths in all dimensions of life, in all places of the world. A week ago, early Thursday morning, vandals destroyed every room in Babcock Presbyterian Church, our sister congregation in this presbytery, a tiny little church who had done most of the work on their church themselves. They worship this morning back in their fellowship hall, not yet back into the sanctuary, which was very badly damaged. Back in their building, but shaken. still out of the sanctuary, which needs to be rebuilt. They hope to be back next week. It's a wilderness and a tiring time. For many, a personal journey around here, there is wilderness. You walk into work only to find out that you have no job. The search for a job takes longer than you would anticipate. The work of recovery or reaching for health or aging or parenting babies or parenting teens. Uncertainties of the future in college years loom. And all of these require great energy. There has been much attention in recent weeks paid to marveling at the way that Japan is coping with this disaster of earthquake and tsunami in calm, orderly fashion. I don't know if you saw the cover story on the New York Times yesterday, but it was reporting on one of the emergency settlements that has sprung up in a school in Japan, with people working together to meet one another's needs. I was struck by the story, by an interview of two dentists in the story. The reporter in the story said, you know, one might expect that doctors would be helping to provide care within the settlements, but as they interviewed these dentists, they found out the two dentists matter-of-factly stated, our offices were destroyed. So when we came here for shelter, we did what we know how to do, to be dentists. To step out and to offer what they have, to set up an office in this emergency shelter to help, to do the next faithful thing step by step. Basic, basic, like water in our lives and too easily taken for granted. We fast forward now to our lectionary and to the New Testament story, to another water story. To a lonely Samaritan woman who comes to draw water at the well at noontime, not the customary time to draw water. Most people come to the well in the morning before the heat of the day. But noontime is the time when the outcasts can come, with less harassment by those who were an accepted part of the community. And she is an outcast. She is on the margin. She has had 5 husbands, and the one she has now is not her husband. Yet she, too, needs water. Jesus has been traveling, journeying in discussion and transformation with people, turning water into wine in discussion with Nicodemus, and now he comes upon this Samaritan woman, or she comes upon him, as she arrives at the well. It's a shocking story because women and men didn't interact in public in those days, and Samaritans did not interact with Jews. For Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans, Phil read in the scripture this morning. And yet we have here Jesus reaching out into relationship with this woman. The two of them discussing, debating even the basics of life, the living waters of faith. There's a reference back to the springs of water that gushed forth for the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, springs of water gushing up to eternal life. And Jesus lays it all out to this woman. He invites her to put her trust in true worship, to come to the living water that is right there before her in this encounter of relationship. It is in worship with Jesus discovering God at work, as we too gather in this time to discover Lent together. Just as the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness and are reminded again and again to seek God first and to trust that God provides, to look around and see that the field is ripe for harvesting, those opportunities are here for us to pray for that next step. I've been reading this Lent, the book by Parker Palmer on Let Your Life Speak. And in one chapter of the book, Palmer is talking about the struggle of trying to figure out where his life is leading next. He has gone to a Quaker retreat center and is pondering that, where again and again the good Quakers in their midst say, "Sit in silence and a way will open." Those who are Quakers among us know that that is a common saying. However, for Palmer, the way is not opening. And so he seeks out the most wise woman he finds in that community to sit, to meet with her. She's known for her thoughtfulness and her candor. And he says, "I have not had the way open." She looks him straight in the eye and she says, "In the 60 plus years that I have been a Quaker, the way has never opened." He was crushed. He was crushed. Here he was in the presence of one so wise, so calm, but she wasn't finished. She continued, "I have never had the way open, but I've had a lot of ways close, and they have shown me the direction." The people in our scripture this morning are struggling in similar ways. They are praying without ceasing for those next steps. They are struggling. They are arguing. They are feeling perhaps that their life has not moved in the right direction. And yet Jesus invites them to this living water. The end of the story is not here. As a popular saying has it, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And our scripture this morning reminds us in the dramatic stories of Exodus how God seeks to meet us again and again. In the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, we are reminded that that living water is given to all of us, that we too may live in its fullness. There are a lot of wilderness times around us, and perhaps even in your life in these days. What would it mean for you to take that next faithful step? Perhaps to step out of our comfort zones or to offer what we have, even if it seems just a little? Think about those dentists in that school in Japan. Perhaps particularly in the wilderness, Scripture calls us forth to turn to God in such times, to worship, to trust, and to take that next faithful step, even if the way may seem to be closing behind us. To focus on now, in this moment, in this day, and perhaps that full picture is not yet seen for us, but as the great hymn of faith reminds us, "Great is thy faithfulness, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside." May it be so, not only for us, for those we love, for our community, for the world that we are getting to know, but for all of God's people. Amen. This morning, we will sing our affirmation of faith. I invite you to stand as we sing together, "Bless the Lord," from the Tizay community. The words are in the bulletin, but they are also in the small Sing the Faith hymnal 2013. Let us stand and affirm our faith by singing through four times.